One. And a drive to left center field, hit deep to the track, to the wall, and clear the deck. Cannonball coming. Key Brian Hayes, his second home run of the season. Pirates are on the board. It's 3-1.
And that's all he's done as far as the power goes, and that's all he'll do for the Pirates in 2025 and beyond. It's over. The Key Brian Hayes era. The first quote-unquote big contract that Ben Cherington handed out among the three guys who got long-term deals, Hayes, Keller, and Reynolds. Hayes is now done. He's shipped off to the Reds at the 50-minute mark, brought to you, I already did that, with temperatures right now in Latrobe for Steelers training camp in the 80s. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. He is gone, and now he's off to Cincinnati. And here's what the Pirates are getting back in the deal. Per Jeff Passan, two players. One guy you've absolutely heard of if you're a baseball fan, and that is reliever Taylor Rogers. Not to be confused with his twin brother Tyler, who pitched against the Pirates last night with the Giants. He has been a pitch for Milwaukee for a short time. He's been in the big leagues for 10 years. He is in the final year of a contract with the Reds, and now the Pirates paying him $12 million. So he's actually making more money than Hayes is right now.
But that final year of the deal thing means he won't be making it for long.
And they also get a prospect, Sammy Stafura, a shortstop who's at single-A, trolled shortstop, who is hitting .262. High on base percentage, .393. He walks a lot.
Oh, they're doing Moneyball again.
.393. Four homers, 48 RBIs in 88 games. He was not on the Reds' top 30 prospect list.
They're getting off the salary here.
They dumped the salary.
That's it. He was due $7 million over the next two seasons each year, then $8 million over the next two after that, and then they had a team option on Key Brian Hayes, did the Pirates, for $12 million with a $6 million buyout attached to it in 2030. Okay, so that's the next 5 years. This was, he's due $30 million for sure, $36 million no matter what, because that's the buyout.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting out of there. We're bailing. And he stunk as a hitter. And the Reds, the funny thing is, we all assumed they would dump him to a team like the Yankees till they made a trade, obviously, to get McMahon from the Rockies and fill that need. We all assumed it would be a deep-pocketed team that would take on a no-hit, all-glove third baseman at a power, so it's a power infield spot.
Yep.
No. It's a team in your division in a comparably sized market.
Hold on here. I just got a text from one of our loyal listeners. I actually have to take back what I said. I made a mistake. Stafura actually is. How about this? He is a Reds top 10 prospect.
So what the hell was the disparity there? How did we...
Because they already moved him to the Pirates page.
Yes, the Confluence has told him, has now tweeted us and said he's number 9 on the Reds
list. He's number 9.
All right, so maybe he is a Moneyball man.
So they got a Reds top 10 prospect. And I've got another text here that says, don't be surprised if Rogers never pitches for the Pirates.
Oh, if they
gets immediately flipped in another deal.
That sucks for Bucko Auction House because you need a total number of trades to happen here. I don't care about whether the if they immediately flip Rogers, I'm going to be livid.
That's what this says.
All right, I have to do one thing then here, and that's it's still, I think, mostly to get the salary out of there. Majority. Do you disagree with that?
No, I don't.
To their credit, if you are flipping salary off the books, getting somebody that I see our old pal Shelby Cassesi is saying he was the Reds' 15th ranked prospect. I've seen 9th elsewhere. There's going to be disparities in these things based on which service you're using.
Yes.
Getting somebody who's around that top 10 or 12 is a hell of a lot better than a guy outside their top 30. So I have to walk that back and say they might have got an interesting player. But you know what? You know what else Ben Cherington has stockpiled during his tenure here? Middle infielders with maybe a projectable trait who don't pan out into anything.
Yeah.
So if the guy's major, if the old Moneyball bit here is he gets on base, and Jonah Hill's saying he gets on base, what is he, 20 already in A-ball?
Yes.
Not great.
Not bad either,
not
though.
Not terrible, but not great. He's hitting .262. He's drawing a lot of walks. Okay.
I think the bottom line here is Key Brian Hayes was an awful hitter with the Pirates. 233 last year, four homers, only played 96 games.
That's my real worry. That's my real worry here is that he goes to Cincinnati and hits.
Well, if he's ever going to hit, it's going to be there.
Yes, because it's a bandbox.
It's easy to hit home runs to left field, and he's a right-handed hitter.
It's easy to hit home runs anywhere there.
But yeah, and he's in a better lineup. The Reds have, for the most part, been in the upper half of run-scoring teams this year. They don't have like a ton of big-name guys beyond De La Cruz, but it is a ballpark that is... You're right. It's
a hitter's park. It's one of the friendliest hitter parks in the entire big leagues.
Correct.
Maybe the friendliest.
I mean, it's not Coors Field, but...
Yes, non-mountain division.
And I think, just from the things I've heard, Hayes, I think, resented the Pirates. And I think he feels like some of his struggles here are related to the team at large.
Like they screwed him up?
I don't know. I mean,
hold on, just because now I'm
because remember
getting
the story he
now.
Consulted with his own with the double A hitting coach.
Then
when
they
he was
fired
in the majors
the coach,
and they got rid
John,
of the guy,
John Nunnally.
Yep.
Then he hired him, and they didn't block him according to their side of the story from hiring him on the side to work with him.
But that didn't make him a better hitter,
right?
So the Nunnally effect or factor wore off,
which is just like what we heard. Didn't Deion say the Pirates were going to go back to their team oriented hitting approach and not the mandated hitting approach when they went in the tank for three
games? They were going to go rogue after they got swept in Seattle and start doing it their way.
Yes,
and then
their offense
like crap
was
against
even
Kansas
worse.
City and Minnesota.
So
yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hayes might have some gripes here. His dad and his brother were very vocal in their annoyance with this, that, or the other thing. You got a big contract, you got an amount of money that might not be crazy in baseball terms, but for your overall performance was a lot. Like, I'm not going to be too sympathetic to Ke Bryan Hayes, man. At some point, there's got to be some ownership on his part of, I'd never hit here other than my very first debut in the major leagues. I've had constant back problems. I'm not going to talk about that as if it's his fault.
Yep.
But like, you are what you are at this point. I don't think the Pirates telling you that they are firing the hitting coach you liked is some mortal sin against the team, especially when they let you keep working with him just out of your own pocket.
It also shows that they did not really care about the gold glove, platinum glove play at third. Because if they did, they would say, okay, paying him $7 million to play elite defense is worth it. What they ended up doing was trading him in the division. So they were fed up with him, or they were tired of it. They also, you can conclude from this, thought that he wasn't going to ever figure it out.
When did they ink that deal with him? That was like right before, right at around opening day in what, 2021? So after his little COVID explosion season where he just comes right out of the gate hitting like, you know, like a gold glover and a MVP candidate. 11.24 OPS feels like a fever dream.
Well, that you've said many times that season shouldn't count.
Well, just it was clear that it was kind of a farce
for
him.
Of course.
It was the best you were ever going to see him hit. His OPS has only been good, I would say, objectively, one other year, and that was 23, where he got torrid at the end of the year to salvage that season. Otherwise, he's never hit. He's just never hit.
The contract was consummated on April 7th, 2022.
Okay, so he had already had the comeback to earth, and they were betting on him.
Yep, that's why they got him for somewhat of a bargain
and for the
compromise deal.
April. So I'll just say the entirety of the 2022 season under this new contract, cumulatively he hit .248 with a .299 on base percentage, so he couldn't even draw walks. A .353 slugging percentage. I'm willing to bet I could find you some pitchers who slugged it better. And a .651 OPS. And you know what? The thing that, again, I'll point back to is a team in a comparably sized market, though, who is a better baseball team. There's no doubt. I'm not like dogging the Pirates for making this trade. It didn't even take the New York Yankees or some deep-pocketed team to say we're willing to suck up the salary for a guy who
won't
hit.
Austin Bechtold, acquiring Taylor Rogers screams David Bednar is getting traded and Rogers will be the closer. Why would you make a 35-year-old with no future
your closer
for the rest
Santana.
Of the year? Or why not see if guys like Majinski or Ashcraft can do the job? That would be dumb.
Yeah, what's...
I don't think it screams Bednar's getting traded.
No.
I mean, it might... They need guys to log innings, and maybe
one doesn't have anything to do with the other, in my opinion.
I mean, maybe they're worried with innings numbers with some of their younger pitchers, but I don't... I mean... If a 35-year-old with no future with the team or 34-year-old is getting saves for you and pitching the ninth inning the last 2 months of the season, That is really, really stupid. That goes against what Greg Brown came on the air yesterday and said that would be the thing the team he works for could do that would drive him crazy, is have guys with no future here
just dead
log
enders,
important innings or get important at bats.
And he was right to say that. Would you have just either or? So take Rodgers out of the equation. I'm again disgusted if they flip him immediately because you're going to win Bucko Auction House for that one. Would you rather have had the following if I could give you these two equivalent things? Guy who's like the 10th rated prospect in the red system instead of 9th, but what he is a corner outfielder who definitely has a trait that's bad. He strikes out a ton already, but he hits the ball over the fence.
Yes.
Or a middle infielder who might never hit. Thank you.
No, that one.
So as our buddy Adam Gretz said, it's part of this that drives him nuts is Ben Cherington satisfying his desire for more middle infielders that may not hit. He certainly has a type.
All right, let's go to Parado. He is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Johnny, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Good to talk with you, too. How are you?
I've never been better, and I value your inquiry. We have a 6 p.m. deadline here today. Let's start with Key Brian Hayes. What did you think of them being able to trade him, and how do you look back on the Key Brian Hayes era?
Well, the surprising part for me was they were able to get the Reds to take on the rest of his contract. I thought if they were going to trade Key Brian, they were going to have to eat a little bit of that contract at least, but they were able to do that. It just didn't work out. It's kind of like I wrote in my column for Pittsburgh Baseball Now. Some relationships just run their course sometimes. No acrimony, no arguments or anything. I think Key Brian got frustrated here. He butted heads with the hitting coaches sometimes. And I think the Pirates knew they needed somebody. I mean, he's hit 6 home runs in the last 2 years combined. And you need more than that from your third baseman, even though he's a terrific defender. I mean, you can't go with that lack of production. So I think it's a benefit both sides. The Pirates probably wait to the offseason. They need to go out and get a third baseman. I'm not a big Jared Triolo everyday guy. But I think Key Brian definitely needed a change of scenery, and we'll see how it works for him in Cincinnati.
Had you ever before, Key Brian, seen somebody in all these years covering the Pirates have a meal during live play, Johnny, like he did when he opened the pack of sunflower seeds with a man running behind him? That was a first for me.
No, that was not a real good look. And, I know the Pirates downplayed it and said it was no big deal, but Derek Shelton downplayed everything like that and said it was no big deal when he was the manager. He just seemed disengaged a lot of times. And I like Key Brian. He's very quiet. He's a little hard to get to know. But, I had a relationship with his father when his dad played here. So that kind of helped break the ice when Key Brian first came into the organization. But he's just very quiet. He's very hard to read. But you could just tell the few times that he was even in the clubhouse when the media was allowed in this year, he just looked like he was miserable, like it was time to move on.
Mm. All right. So I think of Neil Walker's career. He goes from catcher to third. And I remember visiting him at Indy and doing a piece on him and McCutcheon where they were down there. And the word was he was ready defensively at third base. Then he switches to second base. So I'm wondering, that leads me to, are there people in this organization, I don't know, Nick Gonzalez, Termar Johnson, Connor Griffin, someone else you can think of, where they can reconfigure the infield and find a third baseman that's already in their organization and somebody else to play short and somebody else to play second?
I think Nick Gonzalez could play third base. I really do. He's got a pretty good arm and he's got quick reflexes. They have a bunch of, maybe Leover Peguero could be a possibility. I know these aren't like very exciting names, but Nick York, another guy who looked good in a little bit of time. He was up in the big leagues at the end of last year, but it's fallen off the face of the earth. It seems like in Indianapolis this year, he's another possibility. So they have possibilities. Triolo would be at the top of the list, and I'm not sold that he's an everyday third baseman. He's really kind of like keep Ryan Hayes light, a good defender that doesn't hit. So I think it's a position they're probably going to have to address, if not here at the deadline today, certainly in the offseason.
Talking to John Parrotto, longtime baseball scribe, about the trade deadline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Johnny, should they trade Bednar and Keller in pursuit of bats? And a very different question is, will they trade one or both?
I think Bednar is more likely to go because you have a lot of teams still interested in him. I know the Rangers are very much feel he could be the last piece for them. They've really come after a bad first half. They've really been good since the All-Star break and got back in the thick of the race in the American League, both in the West Division and the wild card. The Yankees are interested, the Dodgers, the Tigers. I mean, they're the Padres. They just got Mason Miller from the Athletics here a few minutes ago. So, I mean, there are teams out there that want him. It's a matter of Ben Charrington can get them in a bidding war and get as much as they can for him. Personally, I'm not really sold on trading a top-flight closer, and especially a local guy who's a big fan favorite. I mean, you put your fans through so much disappointment all the time. Why not latch on to somebody who actually wants to play in Pittsburgh? But I get the feeling Keller's not going to be traded unless somebody really bowls the Pirates over right at the deadline at 6 o'clock or right before six. I get the feeling, talking to people from other teams, the Pirates aren't very keen on trading him. But I'll put all this with the caveat, as always, things are so subject to change from a minute to minute here in these last few hours before the deadline that you can never truly predict what's going to happen.
Would you trade Keller? I suppose it depends on what he can fetch, but if he fetches you, we were talking about Yandy Diaz, we were talking about Stephen Kwan, we were talking about guys blocked in AAA like Owen Casey or, I don't know, Spencer Jones from the Yankees, somebody of that ilk. Would you trade Keller?
I mean, Toronto has an interesting guy in Addison Barger who can play all over, and he's had a really good year. And I know the Blue Jays were interested in Keller quite a bit, though I don't know if that has changed because the Blue Jays here about an hour ago got Shane Bieber from the Guardians. So they're probably out of the market now for any more starting pitchers. So, yeah, I mean, you've got to get some bats back. And, I mean, guys who can make an impact. You know, I mean, like for next year, the very latest. And, you know, if you don't get what you want for Keller, I'd hold on to him and try again in the winter. You know, a lot of teams would still be interested in him, maybe even more teams that aren't in contention now that feel they can be in contention in 26. And again, he's got 3 years and $56 million left on his contract. And for most teams, that's not that big of an expenditure for a guy who's a number two or number three starter.
Limits, I would hate to leave you out of this conversation.
Thank you, Joe. A question about Bednar here, Johnny. I wonder what they could realistically get back for him. If they package Bednar and Santana together, do you think that they could acquire like a hitter like Casey or somebody who's knocking on the door in AAA or maybe somebody that's been in the big leagues for a year but hasn't played that long, similar to Spencer Horwitz, but a better player than Horwitz with a better profile?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility if they package them both. I don't think they'll get that one player straight up in a trade for either Bednar or Santana. But, you know, the team that seemed most likely to trade for both of them were the Phillies. They've been scouting them heavily for a couple of months now, the Pirates bullpen. And now the Phillies went out and got Johan Duran yesterday from the Twins. So now their need for relievers is no longer so acute. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they get. Again, they're not forced into trading either one of these guys. They both are under club control, in Bednar's case for one more year and Santana for three. So, you know, if I'm Ben Charrington, I don't panic and just say, hey, I have to get rid of these guys. I'm going to take whatever I can get. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It'll be, it was last year a very eventful last couple hours for the trade deadline for the Pirates, and we'll see if that happens again this year. I think it could, but again, and you know, I always stress this, there's so many moving parts in on this day that it's hard to truly know for sure what's going to happen.
Johnny, I've been saying, writing for a while, that Ben Cherington might be the worst general manager in the history of Pittsburgh sports. I'm assuming that you thought he should have been fired along with Derek Shelton. Am I correct in that?
I thought it should have been at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And when they waited and they got rid of Shelton 38 games into this year, you basically punted on this season. I think Don Kelly's done a good job as Shelton's replacement, but you punted on this season. And now I'm not 100% convinced that Cherington won't be the general manager next year. I would think that Bob Nutting would want to move on, but I'm getting vibes that it's not necessarily a done deal, and he could be back in 26, which, off his track record here, I mean, you're going to set yourself back another year in 26. So I think they need to make a change in the baseball operations. I really, really do. And I do hope if the next GM, if there is a next GM, would give Don Kelly a fair shot, you know, to manage, or at least, you know, interview for the job instead of immediately just saying, I want my own guy.
How long is Cherington signed for? Do you know?
There's conflicting reports on this. I believe, and they keep this a guarded secret, which I don't understand, but I believe he signed through 27. So you'd have to pay him 2 years of salary if you fire him at the end of the year. Which, I mean, at some point, you just have to kind of cut bait and do it. And, Bob Nutting is very conservative when it comes to making moves like this. And I think it's not just a money thing sometimes. He's a very loyal person. He likes people who are loyal to him. And Cherington has never complained about the lack of money or what have you from Nutting. So I think that's why Cherington could be back next year, because I think Bob genuinely likes him. And I think Nutting still thinks there's a chance that Cherington can turn this thing around, though I certainly think it's a slim chance.
Limits, may I engage Johnny in a game of free association?
Please.
Johnny, you know how it goes. Very quick questions, yep, and very quick answers. Even one word, should you choose to use that. You ready?
Yep.
Cherington will be back next year.
No.
Don Kelly will be back.
Maybe.
Ooh. Am I crazy if I say the rotation will be Skeens, Chandler, Oviedo, Falter, and either Burroughs or Ashcraft?
I think Keller will be there.
Okay.
But the rest all are, yeah, certainly candidates.
Spencer Horwitz is the answer at first base.
No.
Do they address that this offseason?
They never have any other offseason, so I would leave it at that.
How would you classify Henry Davis at this point?
Perplexing.
Who's going to be the catcher on opening day next season?
Ooh. I'll go with Henry.
You are confident that this is just an aberration for Brian Reynolds and he'll be back to normal next year?
Pretty much so.
Termar Johnson is still somebody that is highly regarded and will hit for them someday?
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Is he going to make the majors at any point?
Oh, yeah, I think he will, but I don't think he'll be an impact player.
When will Connor Griffin get here?
I would say 2027 at the latest, and maybe even at the end of next season.
Percent chance he rockets through the system the rest of this year and is on the opening day roster?
25%.
Holy bird milk. Wow, Limits, do you have a question you'd like to ask at the end here?
That's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
Percent chance that Bednar is traded?
75.
Santana?
60.
Tommy Pham?
90 if there's interest.
IKF?
90.
O'Neill Cruz?
10.
Brian Reynolds?
30.
Holy horse milk. Johnny, I have no further questions. That was incredible.
Well, thank you. quick answers. As the late, great John Maynard always said, give quick answers and people won't know whether you're making it up or not.
I like that a lot. Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks for having me.
What an incredible man he is. Huh, Limits?
He's the best. That was great.
I don't know where to start with that.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to that in the next segment. I don't even know what just happened.
We could go back to free association and break it down one by one.
Charrington, we don't know how long he signed, but he says through 27, he gets vibes that Charrington could be back next year.
But he doesn't think that Charrington will be back next year when you asked.
Well, in the end, despite the vibes, yes, he says no to him. Termar Johnson.
What a disappointment. The fourth overall
pick. Oh, my. If they blew it on that, then that's, oh, boy. All right. Brian Reynolds, he didn't sound overly confident, but said he would be. And then Henry Davis, perplexing, he called. And then what did he say on Keller? He feels like Keller's going to be here.
Yeah, he thinks Keller's staying, yes.
And what did he say on Bednar getting traded?
75%.
We have to talk about all of this coming back. I wanted to do cuts and clips, but we're going to have to save that for later in the show.
We will have time for that, too.
Who do we have at noon?
We have cuts and clips at noon.
There you go.
Noah Hyles at 110.
There you go. You're on top of things, Limits, and I give you credit for that.
You know, Joe, well, sometimes when you return, sometimes you need a little bit of a warm-up period, you know, where you got to stretch.
No, you stepped right back in the game and started hitting shots, didn't you?
I did, but were my shots landing? I was Key Brian Hayes. I was making contact, but I was grounding out to shortstop. Now I'm finding gaps. Now I'm back in the game, Joe.
You're Tommy Pham for the last month and a half. Listen to the Hardly Ever Pomp and Every Other Week Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Johnny was on that. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's get back to some of these things that Johnny presented there about Bednar, about Keller, about next year's rotation. He thinks Keller will be in it. All of that. Talk about that next.
All right, the Donnie Football Debrief will return when Donnie joins us tomorrow, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. I don't think Saloni's is going to mind that instead of intern Dom creating asinine football topics for 10 minutes, we instead continue to talk about the biggest story of the day, which is the Pittsburgh closer, the Renegade, David Bednar, going to the Yankees. I'm sure he's had his fair share of Saloni's bread in his day. It is delicious.
Delicious bread. Brian Batko chiming in on all of this, the big story of the day. I'm waiting for Rowdy Tellez to tell me how to feel about the David Bednar trade. Pretty good.
that is a good one. Former fan update anchor Robert Sir, who now is a meteorologist somewhere. I don't know exactly where.
I think he's in Louisville now.
Oh, good for him.
He's steadily moved up the meteorological ranks.
Tweeting out, they're basically something that points out how the Pirates have always found a closer. From Caps to Grilly, from Grilly to Melanson, from Melanson to Hanrahan.
He who shall not be named in there.
He's got the order of it wrong. And then Hanrahan to Vasquez, and then Bednar, and he said they'll be okay. Yes, I don't think it's...
Alan Saunders parachuted in to immediately respond, yes, they had a competent general manager making those moves.
But I don't question the ability of the Pirates to find another closer. What I question is, in this era, or in this moment, where closers are getting traded for a ton... what the Pirates got back. That's all.
Yeah, relative to what other teams have gotten, it seems light. I don't know how you could say anything else.
And they don't have a GM who you would say, in this guy we trust. They have Ben Charrington. Noah Hyles pointed out, in all of these moves Charrington has made, draft picks, trades, free agent signings, he's acquired
two All-Stars in the 6 years he's been here. Paul Skeens won one.
Pretty simple.
And David Bednar. And I would even say with Bednar, it was a three-team trade in January of 2021, so coming off the COVID year. They sent Joe Musgrove to the Padres, and they got back Hudson Head, who just retired from baseball.
Wasn't there a guy in there named like Means, Jerry Means or something? Or is that, am I thinking of a different trade?
Drake Fellows, Hudson Head, and Omar Cruz went to the Pirates. Okay.
No, there was a Boston trade where some random guy like that came back. Hudson, who was the first name in there?
Drake Fellows.
That sounds like an SNL character.
Because there was Brian Fellows. Drake Fellows, Hudson Head, Omar Cruz, and David Bednar to the Pirates, and then Andy Rodriguez came to the Pirates from the Mets in that three-team deal.
Just for the record, Musgrove, after that deal...
Musgrove was a stud for the Padres.
Racked up in the next 2 years, 7 wins above replacement, and was an objectively outstanding pitcher. They lost that trade.
Pitched a no-hitter and was really good for the Padres in the playoffs in 2022 as well.
In 2022, the guy was an all-star with a 2.93 ERA who started 30 games for them.
Yeah.
So, he was excellent.
I'm happy they got another all-star back in Bednar, and he wasn't even thought to be the the main player back in
the trade, though.
He still did not, yeah.
It's one of his two trades that led to an all-star you would technically rank as a loss.
And I don't think that's being...
Noah Hyles also...
Difficult. That's just being honest.
Noah, somewhat cryptically, I tweeted out, I might be downgrading this move to a D the more I think about it, particularly when Noah Hyles said that the team's ask for Bednar would be one of a team's top five prospects. Noah responds 3 minutes ago, I'll have more on this in a bit, both additional reporting and my own thoughts. That seems kind of ominous / interesting. I want to hear more about that. Like, what changed, basically?
I think Noah's going to tell you that he's getting good feedback on Flores that has him thinking this is a better trade than what he originally heard.
Is he getting good feedback from Pirates sources?
I don't know.
Or is he getting good feedback from people around baseball?
Text him and ask.
Maybe I will.
Text him and say, do you feel good about this trade, yes or no?
The only thing, I will, Pony, but we're on the air right now and I will do that.
Well, when has that stopped Starkey or Pomp from sending a text out while they were on the air?
I'd like to think that I have a little more respect for you and your very good opinions.
Well, you start that text up right now because I'm going to go to Tony and
Freedom. I'm going
to
say one more thing. There is one thing as a Pirates fan that is making me think this might not be an underpay by the Yankees and a bad deal for the Pirates. Jeff Passan, who I do not think is fond of the Pirates very much at all. Loves this trade from them.
Yeah.
Like, went out there and put something out there in the ether. He's the biggest baseball insider there is, and he is the biggest backer of this
trade. Gushing about this trade.
Yes.
Here's Tony and Freedom. Hello, Tony.
Hello. One of the things that I looked at with this trade was, what are we really getting? And I looked up Flores on the internet, and of the 90-plus games he played this year, 53 of them were first base.
Okay.
Is this a move for a first baseman?
I think he does both. So he'll play he'll catch and he'll play first. He can do both. Why? Does that make you like it more or make you like it less?
I think I like it more because Davis has stuck, let's be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we have to try to sugarcoat that one. He's been terrible.
But I still think he needs, a full year that he's playing almost every day.
Why?
Well, because you spent number one overall.
They're in last place. Why isn't he playing every day right now? Why wait?
I don't know that.
Because he can't play. He can't hit. He can catch decently as a receiver. He can't hit.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Tony.
Here's a man named...
my take on it.
Giro Von Dane.
Who?
On Twitter. He's the voice of the G-Man. Hold on. This will become interesting in a second. His Twitter bio is official page of sports broadcaster and voiceover artist Gero, G-E-R-O, Von Den, Robert Morris University, and the Alaska Gold Panners.
Okay, why are you
telling me all this? The Alaska Gold Panners was a team that Rafael Flores balled out for.
Oh, okay.
That got him, I think, on the Yankees' radar.
All right, so now I am interested.
The man has Alaska Gold Panners takes. I believe he is the guy doing these games for them.
And what did he say
Flores
about him?
Is a big talent with a high ceiling, hits for power. He'll be the best catcher the Pirates have had in years.
The most recent best catcher they've had is Cervelli.
Bart wasn't bad last year. Will he ever do better than Bart did last year? Pull up Bart's numbers. What did he hit, 14 homers?
Bart hit 14. I think that's because I said he was going to hit 15 this year. He's hit, like, what, two?
He had 13.
Okay.
Will...
Yeah, he did. He was their best offensive player.
Will Flores ever have a year where he goes 13-45, 799 OPS?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
He was a 2.5 win player last year, was Bart. Yeah, this guy, though,
he fell off a cliff this year.
I guess this guy was the broadcaster of record for the Alaska Gold Panners.
Yeah, this is like a, I won't say the natural or something like that, but this really is a come out of nowhere rare case in baseball now where scouting is so good and drafting is so in-depth and stuff, and guys aren't just like drafting dudes late in drafts as a favor like they used to. 20 rounds of drafting high school, junior, college, and college players. This guy never got drafted and had to take the road less traveled.
Would you call
literally?
You wouldn't call any independent league team who's not affiliated with a major league team semi-pro. It's pro baseball. It's independent league. The Alaska Gold Panthers' own Twitter feed calls them a semi-pro baseball team headquartered in Fairbanks, Alaska, the home of the world-famous Midnight Sun Game. I think if this guy is turns into a major leaguer who hits like 15 home runs, you might as well call it the natural. Is his bat say Wonder Boy on it?
I mean, if you're the Yankees, you want to talk about an unreal development job. They took somebody who was a scrap heap player, and they made him the centerpiece of a trade to get an all-star closer who might help them win a World Series. It's a great job.
Didn't Adam Marco, who's the play-by-play man for the Scranton Rail Riders, say that he had a growth spurt once the Yankees got him?
Yeah, up to 6'4".
Like that he was not that big of a guy?
He also said he used to work with Bubba.
He kind of no-sold that one.
He did, you're right.
And Bubba's a wrestling guy, and so I think Bubba would notice.
And a baseball guy.
Bubba would notice being no-sold like that.
Adam's next. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Been a Pirates fan for 45 years. My wife grew up an Expos fan, so it was easy to convert her to a Pirates fan. We live in central Pennsylvania and make the trek out to PNC Park probably 3 or 4 times a year for games.
Yep.
And the trade for me today means that I just bought tickets for the 30th of August for the Phillies and Braves, as well as Philly hats for my wife and I.
This trade this in particular has
done?
You checking out as a Pirate fan.
This
even
is your line
Paul
in the
Steens
sand?
Is still here.
It is my line in the sand. We need MLB bats now, not 2-3 years down the road. We only have Skeens for, you know, who knows how many years, and it's like, I'm just done. I've like.
Well, it doesn't
tried
sound
to be
like
patient.
You should care about any of those things anymore. You're a Phillies fan now.
I've given up. I don't know what else to do.
You should
I can't.
Be happy that the Phillies didn't trade what's his name, the shortstop prospect for David Bednar. Then
Adam, so you don't have any faith that they're going to take the money they saved on Hayes and Bednar and go out and get hitters this offseason?
No, I don't.
Okay,
not at all.
Clearly, you don't because you already bought tickets to a Phillies game.
What was the number you said? 20
around 20.
20 million.
When you think about the prorated money this year and next, yeah,
we all know what the money is that they would be saving.
Here is Mike in Hampton, not Mike Hampton. Hello, Mike.
Hey guys, good afternoon. I was calling about something else, but then you started the segment about these guys in the media that are kind of sticking up for this trade in Charrington's move.
Well, only one very, very, very prominent one, and that is Jeff Passan, who I will say is objective and is the biggest insider.
And I don't see Jeff Passan actually sticking up for Charrington. I see it more of the, you know, like we're showing that Bednar was worth the trade. I don't think he's sticking up for the Pirates organization.
Okay.
The way I see it is that, you know, this management, first off, the thing I called about is I don't understand why they traded for a guy that they're giving $12 million for, and we think they're going to actually flip him for something else. I feel like he's just going to be on the roster after tonight.
Well, the Reds did throw some money to the Pirates in that deal, too. So
But what are we really trading here? Like, are we really, like, offloading?
Uh-oh, we lost him here.
The old poison arrow frog got him. The blow dart.
What do you think he was going to say next? I mean, I haven't seen any buzz on any of these expiring contract guys. whether it's Rodgers, who they just picked up.
It would be a disaster if they're left holding the bag with all these guys and they just have to keep trotting them out there because they feel some sense of obligation to do so.
Well, but you know what that would make me feel like? That would actually make me feel like Ben thinks he needs them to finish with a decent record to keep his job. Yeah.
Man, I go back to the whole thing. This all traces back to the owner not having the gumption to do what needed to be done after last season. They dealt in no measures at first, then in a half measure with Shelton, and he has continued to keep the genesis of the problem on his management team around.
This was supposed to be the Donnie Football Debrief brought to you by Salonis. One quick football nugget that I will throw in here. Philip Rivers became a grandfather today.
So he's what, 44?
Yeah.
I think. So he would have had a kid. Hold on.
He has a million kids.
No, but he had kids in college because he was married at like, what, 20? 21 maybe? Does that sound right to you?
I don't know.
He's 43 years old. I think he probably got married, I'm going to guess, when he was 21. I'm going to guess because he and his wife are the most fertile couple on the planet, that they probably got pregnant within a month of being married.
And so
that would make the kid 21 or 22. If it's like father, or I don't know if it's his daughter who had a baby or his son.
Chip off the old block.
Right. If it's his son and his son's wife who had a baby, son's a chip off the old block. I guess you could say that if it's his daughter, chip off the old block for mom. But that Philip Rivers, then if he lives to like, hold on, 85 years old, his grandchild who just got born today could become a grandparent by what? The time he's 65,
mm-hmm.
That would make him a great grandparent.
He's got great grandfather potential.
Yeah.
He does.
And if he lives to be like 105, he's got great grandfather potential. We got to root for Philip Rivers to stick around for a while.
Mitch is both unusual and, you know, hard to find in the sense of how reliable he's been, the amount of innings he pitches, the amount of starts and innings he's taken over the last 3 years is, you know, certainly amongst the tops in baseball. That's not an easy thing to find. And he's been a very effective pitcher, and I believe he can be even better. So the combination of all that was going to make it a high bar to cross. We were not motivated or anxious to trade him. We needed to listen. In the end, it was clear to us, certainly as it got into today, certainly, and as the probably even maybe late last night, that, you know, there just wasn't going to be anything out there that, that fit the goals, that we felt made us better than Mitch Keller himself.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, honestly, fair enough. But when the stated goal on Sunday was for the team to be better in 2026, none of the other trades
right.
fit that goal.
How does that fit? Like, one goal should fit everything. One mindset should fit everything. So now you have one mindset for Mitch Keller, which I understand. You want to get what you can back that is of high production,
sure,
for a Mitch Keller, but that should be the stated goal for every other player in trade.
Right. So if you're not going to get what you think Mitch Keller's worth, we had talked about that prior to the deadline. Fair enough. Don't just take the highest offer for Mitch. Get exactly what you're looking for. Okay, fine. But when Bailey Falter then gets shipped out, you need a player that's going to help you next year. When David Bednar gets shipped out, you need to get a player that's going to help you next year. When you're taking calls on Dennis Santana, you need to be trying to get players who can help you next year. None of that happened. And they didn't even move Dennis Santana. Shoot, they didn't even move any of the rental guys. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that the reason why they didn't move the rental guys is because they want those guys back? They want to sign those guys back next year?
I could see that being a possibility with IKF. It's a good question.
I think even Tommy Pham. And Heaney.
I think you got to see the way Pham plays the rest of the year, obviously.
I think they really like him.
Shoot, man, if Pham hits well the rest of the year because the eye thing got fixed, I mean, he's hitting 276. If he's the 26th man on your roster next year, I guess it's not the end of the world. But guess what? You could have traded him.
Right.
and re-signed him this offseason.
Right.
Like all these guys are on expiring deals. Carlos Santana, way back when, said that after he got traded, he wanted to come back. And I think he was true in to his word when he said that. And they weren't even interested in him. So, like, if Tommy Pham goes someplace else, hits someplace else, you could always have called him back up. What a disaster. All right, let's get right to it. Noah Hyles in Denver. The Pirates taking on the worst team in Major League Baseball starting tonight. They've won 8 out of 9. Who cares? Let's get to the deadline. Noah, thank you for joining us. I know it's early out there. Denver, great town, great place. Give us a grade on Ben Cherington's performance yesterday.
F. I have nothing else. I mean, that was a failure. That didn't go well. It was bad.
What hurts the most, do you think?
Worse than bad. To hear him say they moved Bailey Falter to clear a roster spot for young pitching, and then for him to follow up and say, after moving Bailey Falter, it didn't make any sense to move Andrew Heaney, who is a worse pitcher than Bailey Falter, who's older than Bailey Falter, and who has no club control remaining after this season. Guys, this was an organization that last year DFA'd two veterans in the final week of the season to create playing time opportunities for younger players. One of them happened to have an incentive bonus coming up, but it wasn't for that. It was to create playing time for younger players. And now, for 2 months, we're going to have three guys, all in their 30s, all on expiring contracts, taking reps from younger players. Tommy Pham got traded twice last year. He's a better player this year. Couldn't find a way to move him. IKF, Andrew Heaney. These are guys that are playoff regulars. Couldn't move him. This is the same GM, by the way, that put Austin Hedges on a World Series winning baseball team 2 years ago. Couldn't move IKF. No value there. I just don't get it, man. It was bad. F.
Noah, they could have gotten bigger name players, but weren't comfortable with the price tag. Your reaction to that?
Oh, I'm Bednar?
Yes.
Yeah. I talked with people in the front office for two different teams that were finalists for Bednar. I won't reveal those teams, but they were heavily interested in him going down to the final couple of days. They ended up both getting different relievers. The price, the asking price, originally told to me by both teams, was a top five prospect at minimum. I reported that. Yesterday morning, they both told me they expected David Bednar to net at minimum a top 75 prospect in baseball. Two separate people, two separate organizations, two separate leagues, one in the National League, one in the American League. These people don't know each other. This was just overwhelmingly similar info. The Pirates had their asking price. I know some of the players they asked about. They are all better than what they got from the New York Yankees. I don't think he's like going to be a bad player. I just don't think he is the best player they could have got for a two-time All-Star closer who's putting up really good numbers. And to go a little bit further now on that, he's now their second most important hitting prospect in the system behind Connor Griffin. because this is a guy that you need to be on your opening day roster next year.
Yeah.
And if he's not, that's a problem. Fans are going to let him hear it. They're going to let the Pirates hear it. And let's go the other route, though. If he is, where's he playing?
But you're platooning him with Horwitz.
He plays first base and he plays catcher. Those are two positions that you've made heavy investments in. At catcher, you have a 1-1 pick. You have a former top 100 prospect. And then at first base, you have a guy that was your biggest move of all last offseason. Oh, or is he just going to chase Kutch out of the building and be the DH? Those are your three options.
No, you're just cooking right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's just cooking right now.
Mm-hmm.
Noah, the Pirates once fam, IKF, Heaney are off the books, plus the money that they cleared up with the deals that they made yesterday, and guys like Andrew McCutchen and Baruchy and others. All told, $41 million thereabouts could come off the payroll. So is that money, do you think, going to be reinvested into the team? That would be the defense if I'm Ben Cherington. Hey, this is what we're trying to do. Is that how you read his comments yesterday? And do you expect for that to happen?
I asked him. I said, is it fair to assume you guys are going to be a bigger player in free agency this year? Because everything else is lying. You know what? Because their logic was rebuild the farm, create open spaces for younger players who might be here now or who won't be here now but could be acquired in the offseason. And they did that. They're going to have open spots in their rotation for Bubba Chandler, Yoan Oviedo, Hunter Barco. They're going to have those spots when Heaney is inevitably placed on waivers here soon because they couldn't trade him. And they have an opening at third. They have openings in the corner outfield spots. Like, they have those openings, and they added more depth to their farm, so they maybe could trade some other prospects. They could trade a Thomas Harrington, a Tamar Johnson. They could move these guys now because they have other depth in their farm system because of these moves. But they got to spend. If they don't spend, then it doesn't matter. It cannot just be reallocating $41 million. A win is valued at $8 million on Fangraphs. They are not 5 WAR away from being a playoff team. One 5 WAR player makes them significantly better, but 5 collective WAR doesn't change a whole heck of a lot for this team. It just doesn't. So you need to spend more than that. And I asked about that. And the response I got was one similar to what we get every time we ask about spending in free agency. It's an important part. But at the end of the day, we've got to be better at development, and we've got to be better at getting good trade returns. Okay.
Noah, Skeens has been outspoken lately. He talked to Zangrilli the other day, and he was outspoken. How do you think his reaction is to all of this the next time he probably speaks or is asked about the trade deadline? What do you think his reaction is?
I don't know. I don't want to put words in the guy's mouth. I won't just speak for Paul. I mean, every person I've talked to about the Pirates' activities yesterday was confused. Agents, people I know who work for other teams, people within the own organization were texting me saying, what the hell's going on? Family members of players asking me what is going on. I would have to assume that line of thinking applies to people in the clubhouse too. I mean, David Bednar was a very popular teammate. And if he was moved for a guy that they thought aligned with the goal, which is get better for 2026. If David Bednar brought in, you know, a guy who is a top 100 prospect or someone with a little bit more of a big league established pedigree, I think people would have been understanding. But when you look around and you see what people who are just as good as David Bednar brought in return, some guys with less control, some guys with more control.
No, I'm going to
know how Paul Skeens or anyone else would feel about that.
Probably not good. No, I'm going to ask you the hardest question that I've ever asked you because of the stipulation I'm going to put on it. One word, do you think Charrington's back next year or not?
No. I mean,
but are you okay? So I lied. Are you confident in that? No, because I look at yesterday and clearly he had a ton of freedom to do whatever it was that he wanted to do. But by all accounts out there, except for Jim Bowden, who gave him a B minus, they did a terrible job. He did a terrible job. Like, I don't come away from this feeling strong one way or another whether the guy's going to be back or not.
All the moves he made indicates that he's running the offseason. He like said, I don't have the quote verbatim in front of me, but like one of the first answers he gave us was essentially this was phase one of the plan. And like phase two is reinvesting that money and making other trades this offseason. Trading prospects, maybe trading Mitch Keller, and filling other positions through that payroll they have to use now. I think he is operating under the assumption of that he'll be back.
Yeah. No, this was wonderful. You kind of went with your Barack Obama cadence today. Mm-hmm. I mean, very long pauses. It's been a very long couple of weeks for you, and you're out on the West Coast, and you're waking up early. The information, great, as always. Get some slumber, pal, and we will talk to you soon, and we'll continue to read all you right, in the Post-Gazette.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Noah.